clear and concise. This is the Jason Burma Show on today's News Talk, TNT.
The dark cartoon continues as our constitutional republic crumbles. Now, when I see the headlines and I see Donnie T out there talking about his gag order, I think to myself, you know, one of the things that I hadn't put into play is if he already gets convicted and he's in jail before these other trials, will they roll him out in an orange jumpsuit just to seal the deal on the official banana republic that we now live in? I mean, think about that for a moment. We've already seen AI Trump in prison in the jumpsuit. If they could get the real deal, that is a new political statement. It just kind of came to me while this dark cartoon plays out in front of all of us. Now, I know I opened up with war, and it was kind of interesting that our guest at the end, when talking about mental health, said, listen, you can't absorb war all the time. It's not a healthy thing, and I don't recommend it. Guys, I do a news show, so I do go through a lot, and I mean a lot of footage and news, but I know when not to hit play. And it's not because I don't understand what happened in that situation. It's because I know I don't need to be desensitized further and just think that that's off in some land that I can't do anything about. We have to do something about this. Again, this is, if you were listening to Derek Brose in the first hour, totally and completely new. Now, he is right to say that we have seen attacks on consulates before, but often it's through proxy networks and quote unquote terrorism. I would say in short order, we've seen military strikes, the likes of which have not been out there in the mainstream, especially with conflicts that are now being acknowledged globally. Yes, those other incidents are real, but we're talking about these in the last 6 months in a system now that all bets are off, in my opinion. And that's a dangerous place to be. You know, another thing that I was discussing with my man Nico House today was the fact that, you know, people talk about the Palestinians and, well, nobody wants them, right? What are we to do with the Palestinians? Because, again, the two-state solution seems to be off the table. And here's the really scary thing. The response you'll get from the conservatives is, well, even Egypt doesn't want them. My man Nico just spent some time in Egypt, got back a couple months ago, and he goes, you know what they don't tell you? They don't tell you that Egypt already has a ton of Syrian refugee children. He goes, real refugee children. Not like we came with our parents, like our parents were bombed to death and now we're here. Somali children. Oh, really? Iraqi children. Are you seeing the theme here? Yemeni children. So in other words, everywhere where we have military strikes and kill people's parents, they're already in Egypt. They don't have the infrastructure. And he said, look, I don't want to call them a third world nation. He goes, but I was there firsthand, and a developing nation is almost being too nice. But again, these are the realities that you won't hear from your conservative pundits or your mainstream pundits or the vast majority of the independent media out there, because they want to make things into this black and white mush when there's a whole lot of gray. A whole lot of gray, and we need to shine light on that darkness that creates that gray area. And there's no better way to do it than fancying a bank holiday weekend at a music festival for Truth and Freedom Tribe, standing in the light.uk with 30 awake artists, including Danny Rampling and Mobius Loop, an all-night acoustic fire pit, a bouncy castle, and Hope Sussex for the children, plus loads of amazing stalls and scrumptious food vendors. It's an event not to be missed by anyone who's aware of the truth of the world. Stand in the Park and Light Paper presents Stand in the Light, a truth music festival in the beautiful Lake District on May 24th through the 27th. You get 4 days of camping and full access to the whole festival for just £60 plus a booking fee. Children under five come free. There is no better bargain anywhere. Visit our website now and make sure you don't miss what's going to be a brilliant weekend for the whole freedom-loving family. StandInTheLight.uk. StandInTheLight.uk. We will see you there. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, well, we're going to be talking about Larry Nassar. There's a story that's kind of gone in the background. Adam Clark about to bring the ruckus. More TNT after this.
Russia, gas prices, COVID mandates.
It just doesn't seem like anybody's doing anything about it.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
On Tuesday, the Department of Justice announced that it will pay close to $139 million to survivors of Larry Nassar's sexual abuse as part of a settlement related to the FBI's failure to properly investigate the initial allegations. Here with the story, joining me once again is TNT News producer Adam Clark. Adam, what's the deal on this story, my friend?
Well, here's hoping it sets some sort of precedence where we can start holding parts of our government responsible for their negligence and mishandling, if we can't at least hold them responsible for their outright crimes, right? Anyway, FDA, I'm looking at you. pandemic, anyone? Warp speed? Regardless, Nassar. Who remembers this guy, right? I almost completely forgot about this creep, and he was a creep indeed. The Department of Justice, allegedly creep. I guess you got to say that. No, he was a creep. The DOJ said in a statement on April 23rd that it has settled 139 civil claims arising from allegations of sexual abuse committed by Mr. Nassar, who refused to wear gloves. Who was earlier found guilty of having abused hundreds of victims under the pretext of performing medical examinations and treatments, as it were. These settlements come to a total of $138.7 million. This resolves administrative claims made against the DOJ, alleging that the FBI failed to carry out an adequate investigation into Mr. Nassar's actions, as it were. A DOJ watchdog found in July 2021 that parts of the FBI's response to allegations against Mr. Nassar, as well as the agency's investigation into his actions, were inadequate. The quote, FBI failed to conduct an adequate investigation of Nassar's conduct, end quote. That is what Acting Associate Attorney General Benjamin Meiser said in a statement. Mr. Meiser continued, quote, for decades, Lawrence Nassar abused his position, betraying the trust of those under his care and medical supervision while skirting accountability. These allegations should have been taken seriously from the outset. While these settlements won't undo the harm Nassar inflicted, our hope is they will help to give the victims of his crimes some of the critical support they need to continue healing, end quote. There have been other settlements involving Mr. Nassar, who, in case you didn't know, was the U.S. women's gymnastics team doctor. In total, the settlements concerning everything altogether involving the convicted sex abuser have totaled nearly $1 billion, including Michigan State University's agreement to pay out $500 million to over 300 women and girls whom he assaulted. This guy had quite a dude. After allegations of Mr. Nassar's abuse were first reported to the FBI's Indianapolis field office by the president of USA Gymnastics in 2015, local field agents failed to respond, quote, with the utmost seriousness and urgency that the allegations deserved and required, end quote. That is what the 2021 report by the DOJ's Office of Inspector General found. Further, that report revealed that two FBI officials lied during their interviews to cover up or minimize their errors. One of the agents also made a false statement to the media in 2017 and 2018 about how his office handled the Nassar case. That agent also violated the FBI's conflict of interest policy, remember those people, by discussing a possible job with the U.S. Olympic Committee while he was involved with the investigation of Nassar. The watchdog noted the seriousness of the former agents lying during the investigation into their conduct in the years after the events, but said there was not enough to bring a federal criminal case. The Justice Department has since acknowledged that it failed to step in, and for more than a year, FBI agents in Indianapolis, I can't say that word, and Los Angeles had knowledge of allegations against him, Nassar, but apparently took no action. The FBI director Christopher Wray spoke to the survivors of Mr. Nassar's abuse at a Senate hearing back in 2021, expressing contrition for the agency's failures. And I don't need to repeat his empty words, but here we are. We now have some closure. I will share a quote from one Rachel Denhollander, who is not part of the latest settlement, but was the first person to publicly step forward and detail abuse at the hands of Mr. Nassar. She told the Associated Press about this, quote, "I'm deeply grateful. Accountability with the Justice Department has been a long time coming. The unfortunate reality is that what we are seeing today is something that most survivors never see. Most survivors never see accountability. Most survivors never see justice. Most survivors never get restitution," end quote. There's the report, Jason. What do you have to say?
Well, first of all, very poignant at the end there, because it is scary. That is the truth. Most do not get any justice. Now, another really scary aspect of this is we're talking about hundreds of victims, and we don't really know how many, but that alone, and I realize there's been other settlements, but I find it hard to believe with that many victims that there wasn't some type of an intentional cover up here by the FBI. We certainly don't know why that is. But again, with hundreds of victims and this initial person not part of this latest lawsuit, $139 million, that means each victim's, you know, probably not getting $1 million, probably not half a million. I mean, I'm sorry, but first of all the money in the world is not going to take the hurt that is done to a human being for being violated in that manner. Period, amen. I mean, the proof is in the pudding. You can look at Hollywood actors, political figures, people that have this trauma upon them. I mean, certainly people deal with it in a different in different ways, but it lasts a lifetime. There's no amount of money you could give me for that. And kind of to accentuate that point, a lot of people forget this. But Simone Biles, I believe it was, during the last Olympics, she was a gymnast. You saw her on TV commercials, etc. At the end of the day, she decided not to compete, and everybody was all over her. They're like, oh, she's so selfish. She let the team down. Like, she was molested by this Nassar guy, and it's all in the media. I can't blame her for maybe not wanting to step out there, because it does remind her of the things that were done to her via these Olympics. And I mean, think about that. This is supposed to be you at the apex of your sport as a young person, and gymnasts have notoriously been younger and very small people physically, right? And now, I mean, Nassar is no physical specimen, and look what he did to all these people. There are just so many dark issues about this case. And another really odd dark twist is that Nassar and Epstein were actually in communication when Epstein was in prison. They were writing each other. And very, very weird dark stuff, Adam.
Oh, yeah. Now, if you want to throw in P. Diddy, it's a done deal for me, Jason, for sure. All kidding aside, though, yeah, no, I'm not the least bit surprised, because that's the only way you can get away with covering up something like this so big. And what does that say about the more recent FBI cover ups that have taken place since the, hashtag Epstein didn't kill himself event that took place? So, yeah, I mean, this just opens up a whole new, more of this. It's not a new can of worms. It's the same can of worms, Jason. But yeah, Nassar was a disgusting guy. And I'm glad to see at least that there's some effort being made on the part of our government, at least, who was did play a hand in this. No pun intended. But, Jesus.
No pun intended whatsoever. But again, the dark thing is that even with this type of accountability, where's the criminal accountability? Yes, Nassar is in jail. Yes, Epstein went to jail and then didn't kill himself twice. And if you think that you believe in QAnon sense conspiracies, apparently, according to the Rand Corporation. But where is the real criminal accountability of not only the accomplices in this on both sides that have to be there, right? But the people that covered it up after the fact. That's the disturbing thing, is that we throw money at these situations. And I'm not saying that there shouldn't be some kind of a monetary compensation when it is appropriate, but we never see the type of criminal accountability that leads to real change. And like I said, I don't know how we vote our way out of this one. Like, that's what they really expect. So look, we've got a corrupt Justice Department. We've got a corrupt NSA, CIA, FBI, executive branch in general. We got to start cutting the head of the snake, of the dragon off. And I don't mean that in a violent manner. I mean that in a Vivek Ramaswamy. Fire half, keep firing, and start having some real accountability in what was once, and hopefully one day will be again, a constitutional republic for and by the people. Adam, I will see you next week, because as you know, I'm taking a little break ski and hutch. Much appreciated, brother. We are going to be talking about that planned implosion of America by design. We got cash for global wars and beyond with my man Matt Baker. You're not going to want to miss it. More TNT after this.
TNT's Chris Smith.
The latest terror attack to occur in the world. And then an inexplicable violent attack on police, at about 20 police vehicles as well, by the very churchgoers who police had turned up to support. Bizarre, but maybe not as bizarre as I'm about to explain to you. It is ghastly stuff, but do you not think that this is happening elsewhere? Do you not think that with 200 different cultures in a city like Sydney, that these kinds of hatreds, this kind of extremism, are you saying that that doesn't go on? That this is a one-off? I doubt whether you have actually grown up in the southwestern part of Sydney, as I have, because I'm telling you right now, as soon as 200 cultures got together about 25 to 30 years ago, it started.
Chris Smith on today's News Talk, TNT. A better business tip from TNT Radio. News Talk Radio listeners are some of the most active and involved listeners of any format. TNT Radio listeners rely on TNT Radio often as their primary source of information. They trust TNT Radio and are highly engaged with the content. If you'd like more information about advertising on TNT Radio, simply fill out your details on our contact page and we'll be in touch. To find out more, go to tntradio.live. TNTRadio.live.
Online.
Online.
Online streaming.
Be a part of the conversation.
I stream it all at work, and I stream it to my phone and listen to it wherever I go.
TNT.
We are now joined by activist, analyst, and investigative reporter Matt Baker, and we are going to be talking about this budget that was recently passed. You know, we've talked about the Uniparty before. It was in full effect this week. These forever wars have been on this trajectory for some time, maybe a little bump in the road via the Trumpski and Hutch, but now they're full scale again. And we've replaced the speaker. And when I say we, it wasn't me or you, but the conservatives that were going to change everything. They got rid of McCarthy. They get this guy Johnson. No real promises kept. And the war machine keeps going.
Just look at him. Mike Johnson, whoever thought that guy was going to be good for us. I mean, you can just look in that guy's eyes and you know he's a rat scumbag. Yeah, man. We're in deep trouble here. I mean, we've lost the grip on reality here completely. It's like they're just running rampant. They literally don't care about the American people at all. And they're literally pissing in our faces. I basically say we're being groomed. Like, talk about children being groomed. It's the levels of abuse that they just keep upping and upping. You know, it's like this all started back when Joe Biden was saying, you remember the clip? He's like, I told them they're going to fire the prosecutor. They're not going to get $1 billion. Son of a bitch. He got fired. He got the billion. So and he goes, and they put in someone who's reliable. So ever since then, this whole little gambit's been going on. And now we're talking, they've already given him what, $125 billion, and now another $61 billion. It's out of control, man. And no money for the veterans.
You're referring to the clip from when Joe Biden was talking about his time in the Barack Star administration. Mm-hmm. And he was referring to going to the Ukraine and getting a prosecutor fired who happened to be working on the Burisma case that involved not only his son, but other political powerhouse players' kids as well, Pelosi, I believe, and John Kerry. And he's sitting next to Richard Haass at the time, who at the time was also the head of the Council on Foreign Relations. And he says this, and well, son of a bitch, you know, he took the billion. We got somebody good. And everybody just laughs. And that is a dark reality of the game. Now, as far as the looks,
well, I just want to say it real quick. I mean, let's just be clear, because they said Donald Trump was guilty of quid pro quo with the Ukraine, and Joe Biden is literally on bragging on TV in broad daylight saying he quid pro quoed for $1 billion to get his son off and all his other little cronies, and he skates, man.
Well, at the same time, again, it was all framing. It was a corrupt prosecutor, had nothing to do with that case. And I'll take it a step further, because really what that second impeachment was about via Trump and the Ukraine was not quid pro quo. He was just saying, hey, maybe we should investigate this stuff. You were investigating before you got that $1 billion, and then we'll talk about giving you aid. I mean, that was just basically saying, hey, why don't you look into this stuff? I mean, it was really outrageous. Now, as far as Mike Johnson, you know, rat or not, he does look like the illegitimate son of Orville Redenbacher. I see popcorn everywhere. Probably
has
the
cue guys going now. Don't get the cue guys going. Trust the plan, baby. Trust the plan.
Yeah, yeah, listen, I know I love a little comedy in the show, but geez, the cue nonsense is too much. Is there any hope for getting anybody that's really effective in anti-war in that position? Because look, you know, there are certain things that bother me about MTG. I don't like her Cruella de Vil outfits that she wears at like State of the Unions, et cetera. I don't like her calling protesters Hamas terrorists and all these other things. But where I do like her is, hey, if they're not going to stop these forever wars, and hey, if they're not going to release the January 6th footage, you know what? We'll just keep voting for a new speaker. I don't care if it takes 6 days, 6 weeks, 6 months. If it's somebody in there that's going to cut off the funding, I want that. Is that a reality? Or are we kind of in this merry-go-round circle of just totally inept front runners that are going to be there for 6 months, a year? We're going to act like something's going to change, and then it doesn't.
Well, I got to say, I've talked a lot of crap about MTG myself. I always thought she was a little suspect, but I did hear her last little rant that she was talking about that, you know, what you're referring to. And I don't know if she had a couple of drinks or whatever, but I thought I was on the mic up there for a second. I was like, she was really getting into it. And I'm starting to wonder, you know, at a certain point, it has to go, like this business as usual thing just can't keep going. And at a certain point, the people are going to look around and be like, oh my God, guys, like, are we literally going to collapse the country like totally and completely? Is this where we're going with this? And it's not fun anymore. And it's not funny. And people are really starting to get a sense. I got the sense that she might have actually got a soul and like started feeling the real pain of what's actually about to happen to her country.
And so, you know, I watched that as well. Listen, I want to believe too. And I think in those moments, she is being genuine. And I'm not saying she's the best we got, because she's not. No. You know, there have been people that have been legitimate, such as Mike Lee on the issues of war. Rand Paul is another one that has been legitimate, but it's a handful. And, you know, Matt Gaetz is far from perfect too, but his anti-war stance recently has been a breath of fresh air. All of those people get demonized, not only in the mainstream media, but then a lot of the alternative conservative media, when they don't want to get one of these corrupt individuals who are outwardly going to play ball in the Speaker of the House. So I'm not sure where we go with that, but is there the very real possibility after this 2024 election, it may not matter because maybe the Republicans aren't the ones choosing the Speaker at that point?
Yeah, man. I don't know how we let it get so far. I love Matt Gaetz, and Rand Paul is definitely OG. And those guys, Rand Paul especially, he comes from good stock. Ron Paul, those are people who really actually care about the country and get the big picture. Honestly, I don't know. I don't know how bad it has to get. I mean, people think everyone raises a stink about this, but they forget this is going to happen again. And like, I don't know, how often do they ram these omnibuses through? Like, what was there? There was, I took notes on it, 112 pages. And again, they've got 24 hours to look through it. Anybody who is voting for this, even if it was the best bill in the world, a tremendous bill, the most incredible bill in the world, you need time to actually read this freaking thing. You can't just sign off on bills that have all this stuff, all these pork barrels, and gives all of our money to foreign countries when we're broke. And it just...
But broski, we could just... listen, we could just scan it and let AI do the job, and then we're just going to check mark it off. And then you know what? Yeah. If you put the bill up, you're probably a domestic terrorist, especially if you highlight something that goes against the AI summarization. That's where we're heading. We got to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk big time budgets even more. New York, $237 billion. The sky is the limit. We're with Matt Baker. You're not going to want to miss it. More TNT after this.
TNT Radio News.
I've got news for you, baby. I've got news for you, baby.
News.
For TNT, this is James O'Neill. The U.S. Supreme Court has declined to review a legal challenge aimed at disqualifying former President Donald Trump from appearing on the presidential ballot in Arizona due to allegations related to the events of January 6, 2021. Deputy Assistant Secretary Jung Pak, a senior U.S. diplomat and the State Department's top official for North Korea, has expressed concerns about the deepening relationship between Russia and North Korea.
The common housefly, caught in the clutches of the spider's web. Every move it makes just makes matters worse. Then, dinner time.
Feast on the captivating stories, videos, and helpful information on our website.
Whoa.
Dinner's ready.
Oh, man.
Escape is futile.
Just one more video.
Get stuck in our web.
TNTradio.live.
And we are back with Matt Baker. And look, you're on the left coast. You're in California. And I even hate that. I don't like talking like that. I don't like the left-right stuff. But I'm in like a fascist New York. I'm going back to New York tomorrow, taking a visit there. And they just passed this $237 billion budget. And there is...
Where does the money come from? Where does it come from?
$237, that's a state's budget. Now, I had an individual who actually won in court recently against New York, but New York is appealing it in the case of the quarantine camps that they want to build in New York State. She said they were unconstitutional. They're appealing it. And she made the point that Florida, that has way more people physically, has a much smaller budget. But when it comes to states like New York and California that are very on board with all these agendas, like you said, the money seems limitless. Where is all this coming from, Matt? And is this on the verge of the final collapse? Is that a possibility in this election cycle? Or I've had other people posit, I mean, I had somebody posit on this very show that they'll put Trump back in there in 12 to 18 months and they'll crash the economy altogether. I don't necessarily buy into that, but I've never been more worried that they may intentionally crash the economy.
Well, I mean, I just don't know. I mean, if anybody wants to know what inflation is, we've talked about this before. It's just simply if you keep printing money, if you print twice the amount of money, the actual money has half the value. So all this money that they pull out of thin air and they send off to these other countries, the Fed pays for it, and it comes out of your savings, and it comes out of when you go to the store and you try to buy things and everything's twice the price it used to be. At a certain point, this currency, this paper, this dream, this false reality of the fiat currency is going to collapse. I mean, the BRICS nations are already coming in. They're giving an alternative. They're showing a stronger hand, you know, when it comes to actually pulling gold in. China's buying gold to actually back their currency with something. And meanwhile, we're buying transgender surgeries because you wonder where all the money, you know, goes in these bills. Well, I mean, you need at least $27 billion just to cut children's penises off just to get the ball rolling. I mean, you know, then you've got the homeless encampments and the, each one of those deserves $1 billion each. And then you have all the migrants that come in and those deserve $1 billion each also. You know, it's like, this is just infinite money. They're doing it on purpose to debase the currency. It's part of the Great Reset, and they want to bring in the digital dollar. And honestly, I have a weird sneaking suspicion that if anyone could sell that, it would be Trump, and it would be a tremendous mark of the beast, a tremendous. It'd be very tremendous.
Well, you know, right now, forget about Trump when we're talking about digital currencies. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. recently came out and said he would put the entire budget on the blockchain. Now, that sounds really nice, right? So you'll be able to track, trace, and database all of this spending. But that's not going to be a reality. And, you know, we're already utilizing blockchain technology, in my opinion, with big bank globalist enslavement when you look at what the International Monetary Fund and their partnership with the WEF and their refugee camps. They actually have those blockchain people. It used to be just SDR units. They've gone beyond that. So the digital currency, and like you said, Trump would think it's tremendous, but if they were to collapse it under him, I'm not so sure he looks good. But that's one of Trump's biggest faults, is his inability to admit when he's gotten things wrong. So, you know, I still think it's few and far between a chance that he gets in there. It looks like they're putting him in prison. I'm going to be discussing that with my next guest. But the bottom line is, If financial change really does come in this country that rapidly, what does it look like? Because it doesn't just look like inflation. And we've never in this country really been a witness to a Weimar type republic. You can argue the Great Depression had moments of that, but we're much more socialized now. In other words, we don't need bread lines because half the people out there got an EBT card for their free bread. It's much different of a dynamic. So what would it look like of the total implosion of the economy, do you think?
Well, it's funny that you bring up EBT because EBT basically already is a CBDC. I mean, it's programmable. You can't buy anything with EBT. You can only buy certain foods. You can't buy hot food at certain places and you're not supposed to be able to buy fast food, but certain fast foods get it. So it's totally programmable of where you can spend that money. So those kiosks and that system has already been completely set up. All they have to do is just up the amounts of the money and just alter the program of what you're allowed to buy and what you're not allowed to buy. It's already there completely in that EBT system. What will happen will be is they'll completely collapse the entire economy in a fashion that will be absolutely petrifying, like COVID level hysteria. People will be completely freaked out and they will say, it's okay. We are going to be giving you, will be like they did in COVID. Don't you worry. Every person is going to get $20,000 in credits. And they're going to be sending out these cards like they did in COVID. And then these cards will just now be clicked into the new system. And then once that happens, the dollar will never get back up off its feet and the digital one will go on. And then after that, they'll slowly start ratcheting up what you can and can't buy. In the beginning, it will probably be fairly nice. You'll be like, hey, this wasn't so bad after all. I just can't buy more than 100 gallons of gas, you know, a week or whatever. And then it'll slowly start ratcheting it. Slowly, but surely every week we'll be like, we've decided there's too much. You can't have this much bacon. You can't have this much beef. You can't do this. You can't do outside your area. You've traveled too much. And it will be click, click, click. And in about 2 years' time, everyone will be trained into it with the social credit score. And it will be too late. I mean, if we're already accepting this level of tyranny where we're allowing these scumbags to steal all of our money and give it, not only just give it to other countries, give it to killing other human beings on the planet and using our money to create weapons and drone systems and AI controlled Reaper drones that are like in Israel, they're like literally using this AI system Lavender to decide who lives and who dies. And people think it's okay. It's like, don't you think we'll be on the threat matrix over here when that happens? Like, oh, Jason and Matt got taken out. Oh, they were on the threat matrix. It's okay. AI decided they needed to be taken out. And as we fund these wars, we're building Skynet and we're building this military industrial complex that will be all autonomous. And we're paying for our own death and enslavement. It's absolutely horrific. I don't know what it's going to take to get the American people to wake up. And I'm not sure that voting is going to get ourselves out of it, but maybe if enough of these people who are up in the Republican Party hopefully start understanding how dire the situation is, they may stop playing ball with some of these special interests, and they may decide to actually try and save the country. We have a prayer of that occurring, and then other than that, I don't know. Things are going to have to change. Alternate method.
I got to tell you, that last rant was perfect for this show because, you know, we started talking about war and the inability right now in our system to vote harder and vote our way out of this system. And we are truly funding our own demise. It's not just the demise of brown people in a faraway nation. It is the demise of humanity itself, because if you don't think at the end of the day you're a target as well, you're not paying attention. Matt Baker, a pleasure. We will see you next week, brother. Thank you so much for joining us. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to be talking about the trials and tribulations of Trump all around with Zach Payne. You're not going to want to miss it. More TNT after this.
I was a quarterback at Hardaway High School. College first round draft pick, on and off the field. We were taught to not show any signs of weakness. During the football season, I would stop eating. But I didn't know I was depressed. I thought that something was wrong with me. For 20 plus years, was physical, physical, physical. We didn't have any education behind what mental health was. I started to learn it starts here first. If this is together, I'll be better as a father, as a man, and as a husband. Put the importance on your mental health. I'm not scared to talk about it anymore. The first tool is therapy. And the second one is positive self-talk. And then journaling, putting your thoughts on paper. We have to redefine what being a strong man is and heal. Love your mind.
I'm Sandra, this is Jorge, and we were adopted in 2019. I remember when they first came to us, Michael was already a teenager. The whole cliche of, they're so lucky to have you guys, and it's the other way around. They have changed our family for the better. They chose to love us. They didn't have to. They chose us. Family.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org.
Perception versus the truth. Jason Burmis on today's News Talk, TNT.
Final segment of the show, and it's time to talk Trump. We got Zach Payne with us. Zach, another day in this trial, and another indication, at least to me, that they're putting him in prison. This is a totally one-sided case from every single angle I can imagine. The judge is out there telling the lawyers what they can and can't say. The prosecutors are out there saying they found more crimes than you can imagine. I mean, they're not trying them for those crimes, but we've got all these other crimes. The media is parroting all these talking points, and at the same time, they've gagged Trump. So another day down in this trial. What was your take on this day and where we are moving forward with these cases?
Well, Jason, as far as I'm concerned, it's just more of the same. I mean, I did not expect Trump to get a fair trial, especially in this courtroom, especially with this judge, and especially with this prosecutor. There's nothing fair about this. This is not an equal application of justice under the law. They're trying to impugn Trump in the eyes of the jury, mentioning these additional crimes without even actually bringing them. The initial crimes are not crimes to begin with. This trial is going to be just one series of incidents such as this until we reach the end. Now, I fully expect President Trump to be convicted in this case. I think that it's impossible that the jurors are going to be impartial. But I don't think that any of these various verdicts are going to stand up to the scrutiny of the appellate process. And if they do put President Trump in jail, then I think it's going to be a tool for him to use in his election campaign. They're not going to stop him from being the candidate for president. And if the American people see him being persecuted to an even greater degree than he already is, I think it's going to be a net positive. And I think that he understands that and he's willing to experience this, to take those slings and arrows as they come.
Now, he's openly discussed the fact that the more that they come after him, the higher he goes in the polls. And this is a reflection that most people realize what is actually going on. But even the people that realize what is going on, again, whether you like Trump, love Trump, hate Trump, don't care about Trump, to me, it's the impact on the entire system and how it really does affect all of us. This is extremely dangerous precedents that are being set on a daily basis at this point. And now some of the other things that are being floated around is if indeed Trump is found guilty of a felony, that they may take away his Secret Service protection. And again, that doesn't necessarily mean it's happening, but you know as well as I do, they're going to project as much insanity as possible and push forward with it and roll with those things that they don't get enough pushback on, or in some cases where they have the game so rigged they can't lose, Zach.
I agree with you, and I see that they are attempting to strip President Trump of his Secret Service protection, but that's something that's going to have to pass through both houses of Congress. And at least at this moment, that's not something that they're going to be able to do. This is just another dog and pony show. Now, as far as I'm concerned, you know, I have known for decades that our judicial system is crooked. Our government is controlled by a transnational criminal organization. And the more people that realize this, I think the better it is for America and the better it is for our hopes of actually changing that. The more that they go after him, the more they persecute him, the crazier, the more insane their efforts are, the more likely it is that the American people are going to stand up and demand that something be changed. Because if they can go after a president of the United States of America, they can go after every single one of us. They've already had the ability and the authority to do that. But people did not necessarily recognize that. The system is crooked. It cannot continue. I'm constantly thinking about the last days of ancient Rome. Rome wasn't built in a day, and it didn't fall in a day either. It was a series of hundreds of years of progressing until it reached its peak, until finally it began to devolve slowly but surely, until eventually the kingdom itself did not no longer exist. It was too big. It was too corrupt. It could no longer sustain itself. And that is exactly what we see playing out here in America today.
So now the next question is, now that this trial is underway, we're days into it now. I think this is something that is going to be going on for at least 3 to 6 weeks. Still remains to be seen if we're going to extend beyond that. But at the same time, I don't see the Supreme Court making any ruling or decision in those next 3 to 6 weeks. So it really harkens, you know, you think that he's going to be convicted. I still think maybe there's a slight chance of a mistrial or a hung jury, but certainly not a not guilty verdict. Okay, that means that we're going to probably see at least one, if not all three, of these other trials taking place in conjunction with one another on the run-up to this election. So at what point does the Supreme Court step in and make a ruling? Are they going to let all these criminal cases play out before they even bring this into their court?
Well, I think that's entirely possible. I mean, the Supreme Court has a history of hoping that the lower courts take care of issues before they're the ones who have to deal with it. So I would not be surprised in any sense. And let me just be clear. I do think there is a slim chance that this may be a hung jury. We may have one, two, maybe three of these jurors who are not willing to convict or who see this for exactly what it is. But I do think the overwhelming majority of them have been placed on this jury. They've lied about their impartiality, and they're there for the express purpose of trying to convict him. So, yes, it may be very likely that the Supreme Court decides not to return any sort of a decision on the issue of presidential immunity. But imagine the power, the ultimate stay of the Supreme Court coming back after President Trump has already gone through a series of court trials. They return and they say, you know what? Everything you've just done was completely illegitimate. Not only that, but you should have known. You should have known because we have hundreds of years of precedent here in the United States of America. They, and even more than that, Jason, they're opening themselves up to the exact same treatment because the American people are going to return Donald Trump to the White House. And when he does, we need to gut this system. We need a massive cleansing across all branches of government. And I sincerely hope that that's exactly what we get, because nothing short of a total overhaul, a redistribution of power in some significant ways, that's the only way that we're going to change things here in America, because these people are corrupt and they are so entrenched.
And I got to tell you, you need to give it the Ramaswamy slice day one in half and yes. Really just keep slicing away day after day if we do want to make this a reality. You know, you brought up the jury. And right now we have had a couple jurors that were dismissed. But the media narrative is that some of these jurors are literally scared for their life because they're, you know, against a president. Now, look, Donald Trump is a lot of things. And I've even talked about him being a gangster in the sense that he brought you Atlantic City. Obviously, you don't create casinos in the East Coast, especially New Jersey and New York, without the help of the mafia. And if people don't understand, also in the real estate business, when you're building things via construction, also very mob related. There doesn't seem to be a Trump body count. In other words, I can't point to 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 100 people that may be politically connected that I don't know end up dead in trees, hung with a shotgun wound through their chest. I don't have that from Donald Trump, but the media, and by the way, that is maybe a little bit of a Clinton reference. I don't know. You look into it yourself. You're hanging from a tree, shotgun blast. It's just a little weird. You got this idea that somehow the jurors aren't safe if they convict Trump. I don't think that they could be safer. You put another political figure there, I understand the dismay. But let's be honest about it. Trump does not have this type of track record to take vengeance on those that he should take vengeance on. And I'm not talking about physically. I'm talking about criminally and politically, let alone some kind of omerta where it's going to be Godfather style and the gun is in the bathroom inside of the stall at the bar. I mean, it's a ridiculous narrative.
Yeah, it's one of the sillier stories I've seen to come out of this trial so far. I mean, you know, not only have the Clintons got a significant number of dead bodies surrounding them, but as you so succinctly pointed out, the manner of their deaths are so suspicious. You know, you said hanging from a tree by an extension cord. How about that shotgun blast up close, but the shotgun 30 feet away from the body? The physics don't work. It doesn't pan out. Trump does not have dead people surrounding him that previously wanted to try to bring him to justice. President Trump, in my opinion, if anything, has been far too kind to these people, far too kind to the people who have sought to undermine and destroy his presidency, his legacy here in America. Not a single juror is in danger of losing their lives if they convict Trump. Now, are they in danger if they fail to convict Trump? Is it a possibility that perhaps they've been threatened if they choose not to go with what the state is telling them to do? I would believe that a lot quicker than I would President Trump somehow getting the word out that these people are going to be in danger if they fail to live up to what he deems necessary. No, unfortunately for these people, they've begun a very dangerous dance, and it's with the devil. It's not with President Trump.
And by the way, all these trials right now, this one in particular, are pretty much preventing Trump from campaigning and running for president. And again, this was a guy that didn't just campaign in 2016. He campaigned throughout his presidency, excuse me, into the 2020 election. And this time, no dice. Now, on the flip side of that, Joe Biden's running again. You wouldn't know it. Now, yesterday was Earth Day. I know we're all concerned. Let's all hug a tree and watch Bambi, everybody. But he's out there with Democratic superstars, if you can call them that, because I don't know what else to call them, Bernie Sanders and AOC. They're in a park. There's nobody there. He's running for president. Now, this just shows to me that they're rock star politicians, along with Joe Biden in this race, is still cyanide. It's pure poison, especially in this political environment in the Middle East and the protests that we do have going on around this country surrounding the left. You know, they know this. So instead, you get this, you know, TV moment with no crowd, nobody from that $81 million voting pool that we're supposed to believe in from 2020. How long can this go on? Is this the strategy that, like, once every 2 weeks he goes out in front of the press with other political figures and they just doll it up with literally nobody out there, certainly not hundreds of people, maybe a couple of dozen people that are vetted. So what are your thoughts?
If that, Jason, I saw footage of people waiting for Biden to show up today, and there was maybe a single dozen, maybe a baker's dozen if he was lucky. And yes, I do think that's the plan. I mean, what other choice do they have? They own and control the mainstream media. They own and control all of the levers of communication. They only have to show Joe Biden standing at a podium. They can probably throw in some canned clapping and maybe a couple of hoops and hollers. But yeah, they cannot fake the enthusiasm or the people who might potentially vote for Joe Biden, because those people simply don't exist. They're not going to be there. And it doesn't matter who they trot out alongside him. It doesn't matter if it's Bernie Sanders. It doesn't matter if it's AOC, because people have soured on them as well. It doesn't matter who goes out there with Joe Biden on the campaign trail. The voters are simply not showing up, and they're not going to show up. I would love to see a rally of Donald Trump compared to Joe Biden, compared to RFK Jr., because although the enthusiasm is overwhelming and the people come out in the tens of thousands for Donald Trump, they don't show up for Joe Biden, and you have more people showing up for RFK. I think that there is simply no way for them to fake it this time around. There's no campaigning from the basement. He has to pretend to get out there and mingle with the people. And every single time he does, he's going to say something creepy. He's going to lie about his past. He's going to talk about his uncle being eaten by cannibals. And he's going to create another meme-worthy moment for the autists and the anons to go ahead and throw out there on X. I love seeing it, to be perfectly honest with you. Joe Biden is a puppet, and Joe Biden is being controlled right up until the day of the election. There's no one who's going to show up. There's no enthusiasm. The American people support Donald Trump, and the ones who don't support RFK.
You know, I was watching Michael Douglas, the actor, get asked about Biden, and, you know, he couldn't say anything positive, but then he said, essentially, that there's nobody that wants has ever said they didn't want to work with the guy. He's like, say what you want about him, blah, blah, blah. But everybody seems to want to work with him. Nobody wants to work with the other guy. It's just such trite Johnny nonsense. Again, they're trying to give us perception versus reality. And look, I hope you're right, but it's not just the machines I'm worried about. It's not just the mail-in ballots. It's now the exit polls. As if, I don't know if you've seen this story, but a lot of the exit polling software is now changing. And the new software, at least here in Iowa, that got fast-tracked, no longer has you sign a physical form. So there's a receipt, you just sign on the iPad. And don't worry, we have a digital receipt of that exit poll. You know, I'm not a fan of these electronics unless they're going to empower the system. And all I've seen since we've had those voting machines is really an enslavement of humanity, and really even the idea that we're able to question those elections, let alone audit them. We got about a minute left in the broadcast. What would you like to leave the audience with, and where can they check out your stuff, my friend?
Well, as far as those polls are concerned, you can always bet that they're going to oversample for Democrats. And if they have the ability to lie on them, they will. You can find me on Rumble and a host of other platforms, Redpill78. You can also check out my website, redpill78news.com. I'm on Gab, Getter, X, and a host of other platforms, also as Redpill78. Jason, it is always a pleasure to be here, and I hope you had a great weekend, man. Sorry about the internet. We got some construction in the neighborhood, and they cut the fiber line today.
Yeah, I cut the fiber line once with my mower, and it was not a good day. Bury it deeper. What are you guys doing? We're paying big bucks for fast internet out there. Zach, thank you so much for joining us, and thank you guys for watching this show. I am Jason Burmis. We are live 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Friday. And folks, to this guy, it is not about left or right. It is always going to be about right and wrong. I absolutely love you, and I'll see you on the flip side.